Well, listen, it's kind of intimidating speaking to you guys. I used to be a youth pastor, and now I'm old. So it's, I'm used to sitting in front of university students, and that kind of becomes your comfort zone. And now I look at you youngins, and I just feel like, wow, that's a few years ago. Good to be with you guys. I want to echo kind of my response to Christopher. As he said, I have been at Evangel University since 2000. So some of you were just little babies then. But I've known Christopher since he was just barely out of diapers. He was 8. So he's just barely, he was just finished potty training or something like that. But no, I've grown up with his family. His mom works with me at Evangel. His dad is one of my dear friends, and the whole family, I see some of them here, and it's just so cool. And we're so proud of Christopher and Emily. We're just really excited to see what God's doing in their lives and the opportunity that they have to bless you guys here. So I'm really excited as well that Christopher has asked me to just share a little bit about the call of God upon our lives. Or sometimes we think of speaking in terms of God's will for our lives. And I don't know about you guys, it's quite a swath of age in here. Some of you are, what, 6th, 7th graders? All the way to some of you that are probably getting ready to graduate. Right on. Talk to me about Evangel when you're done, about Evangel University. But it's quite a big swath of age groups here, and you know, there's a lot of difference in terms of what kind of concerns you have, what kind of issues are most prevalent in your life. But I'm sure that all of you, like me, there are certain times where you ask the question, what does God want me to do? What's God's will for my life? What does God expect of me? What should I do when I grow up? What does God want me to, where does God want me to go to school? Where does God want me to go to church? What would God want for me if I was ever to think about a girlfriend, a boyfriend, if I was ever to think about getting married down the road? What is God's will? What does God want from us? And I grew up in a home where my family, we went to church every week, but we weren't all that focused on asking those kinds of spiritual questions. And I went to a church that I think was rather a little bit overzealous. And what they tended to do was they tended to push this stuff so hard that I constantly lived in this fear that if I acted in the wrong way, that somehow I'd be outside of God's will. I was always nervous that I wouldn't be pleasing God. And it was when I was probably about 26, 28 years of age when I first discovered a new way, a new approach to reading the Bible that radically changed my life. And it would have made so much more, it would have been so much better if I would have known this when I was your age. It would have saved me a lot of heartache, a lot of concern, a lot of stress, because I really wanted to serve God with all my life. And so this constant fear is what plagued me. Am I doing the right thing? I want you guys to hear tonight that I believe God's call upon our lives is nowhere near as complex as we make it, and God's call is very loving and gracious. So here's my approach that I want to share with you tonight. I want to go through just a few ideas with you, and I want you to consider first of me, if I was to ask you guys the question, what is God's primary call upon your life? When push comes to shove, God is really interested in you answering one primary call. What is God's will for you? What is God's will for each and every one of us in this room? What is God's will for each and every person ever born on this planet? What is God's will for every Canadian, American, Pakistani, for an Israeli, for a Scandinavian person? What is God's will? His will is that we follow Jesus. It doesn't get much more simple than that, does it? When you think about it, God's desire for each and every one of us is that we come to a point of decision where we make it our choice to follow Jesus Christ with all of our lives. That involves confessing Jesus as our Lord and Savior, but that also means expressing our lives as followers of Jesus by committing our ways to Him. And Jesus talked very bluntly in the Gospels about following Him, about what it meant to be the kind of person that would follow His ways and His commands. So His primary calling, I think if you guys were able to walk out of here tonight and only remember this, this would be it. That God's number one concern for you is simply that you follow Jesus. Okay? The second thing that I want to do, though, is get you guys to think a little bit about the next stage. But what about all those other areas beyond following Jesus just very generally? I know I'm a Christian. I'm assuming many of you in this room, you're Christians. You've committed your life to Jesus at an earlier point in your life. But then what about all the next questions that come up? What should I do in these other areas? And the proposal that I'm going to make for you guys today is that God's real desire for you, God's will for you, is really quite general. And it's general in the sense that He wants us to follow His will as it's already revealed in the Bible. Think about that with me. God's will as it's already revealed in the Bible. You guys ever heard of the Ten Commandments? Okay, let's think about that. I know you're a Zay. You don't come from a very good home. Am I right? Yes, we got an echo there. The Ten Commandments. Think about this with me. I wonder if it's okay for me to steal. I wonder what God's will is, whether I should steal or not. You guys aren't married, but the word adultery, you guys know from the Ten Commandments, do not commit adultery. I wonder if it's all right to go out and cheat on my spouse, or if you're talking about young people, to go out and engage in some kind of activity that's not Christian in terms of dating. Is that something that we can do? I wonder what God's will is on that. I wonder about being committed to the body of Christ, being committed to the church, and a day of rest. Do you guys know the commandment that speaks along that line? Can anybody help me out? Honor the Sabbath. Yeah, remember the Sabbath. Absolutely. And then in Hebrews, the writer talks about don't forget to keep from meeting together as God's people. Okay, so these are things that are very general and very specific. Very general about what God wants us to do. Can you give me a few more? Can anybody help me? If you leave the Ten Commandments, go to some of the teachings of Jesus and others. What do you think of? Sorry? Don't take God's name in vain. Let me pray about that. I wonder if I can do that. God's will is pretty clear, isn't it? Okay, keep going. How about some things from Jesus? You guys ever think of any sayings of Jesus? What's Jesus say concerning His will for us? You got to put your hand up and yell at me because I'm kind of deaf. You guys ever hear Jesus say stuff like, love your enemies? What's the big deal about loving your neighbors? Everybody loves their neighbors. That's not a big issue. But how about love your enemies? It's God's will to love your enemies. What about when Jesus says, reaching out to those who are poor? Well, let me think. I wonder if God's will is for me to be concerned about those who are poor, about those who are outcasts, about those who are kind of on the side and nobody cares about. I wonder what God's will for that is. What do you think God's will would be? Clearly, reach out and serve those around you that are in need. Can you give me some? I'm going to just keep talking about a few more until you guys interrupt me. Yeah. Pardon? No foreign idols. Yeah, God makes it pretty clear. Worship me alone. There will be no other gods. Nobody gets in my place. You worship me alone. I wonder if it's God's will if we play around a little bit, dabble in some other areas. God's will is pretty clear. Follow me. Okay, keep going. Honor your mother. Honor you. Oh my. Honor your mother and father. My kids are here tonight. That one's especially for you, right? Sarah and Andrew. No, seriously, honor mom and dad. And by the way, in the same area there, the writer Paul makes a statement like, fathers, don't lead your children to wrath. So it goes both ways, that you wind up honoring your parents, but that your parents treat you with dignity and with respect. That's God's will. You ever stop to think about that? That you're honoring God, you're doing His will when you obey these very basic commandments. A couple more and then we'll move on. Yes, sir. Sorry? What did he say?
Don't kill.
Don't kill. Well, yeah. That's a pretty straightforward one, wouldn't you say? Yeah. Now, we'll come back to some other possibilities in the way in which this can go in different directions too, but let's just step outside. I see a guy, I don't like him. I'll just stab him to death. Now, the law doesn't allow that either, but it's a biblical principle that we would find there. Okay? One more. Anybody else? How about the older gang here? You guys who are a little, more mature. What's that? We did remember the Sabbath, yeah. What else? Forgive one another. I wonder if I should remain angry with that person. I wonder if I should just harbor all this bitterness and hatred and just stick with it forever and ever and ever. I wonder what God's will is for such a situation. I think pretty clearly God's will would be to forgive. Forgive one another. So with that in mind, I want you to think about ways in which God's will is already revealed in Scripture. If we keep going, we'll take a look now at the next stage that I want to just kind of mention to you guys, and that is just to think about some ways that maybe we've sometimes overthought the idea of God's will. There's usually a number of categories, and these three are the ones that various biblical theologians, scholars talk about God's will. And these were the views that were, at least the first two views were views that I grew up with. And I've dismissed them now. I don't believe them. I don't think they're legitimate. But here's the idea. The idea of the first one is the perfect will of God. You guys ever heard that word? What is God's perfect will for you? Well, I'm going to suggest to you that God's perfect will for you is that you follow Jesus. I'm going to suggest to you that God's perfect will for you is that you love your enemies, that you forgive one another, that you honor your father and mother. Those are God's perfect will. But there are areas in your life where the Bible doesn't say anything specific. Some people believe that God has a perfect will for every point and every action of your life. And I'm going to suggest that that can get a little bit crazy, a little bit mixed up if we try to lead our lives like that. The second view would be what's called the permissive will. People will say, well, maybe if you don't hit the perfect will, at least you get on the board. You don't get the bullseye, but you get, a few points. You get a little better than no score at all. So just think about how absurd that is. Try to imagine a young girl marries a guy, and the view is that this is the perfect will of God that we're trying to pursue. And all of a sudden, somebody comes to you and said, you weren't supposed to marry that girl. And now you're going to walk around and say, I got married to the permissive will. She wasn't the one for me, but she's second best. Christopher, try that with Emily sometime. Get back to me and tell me how that works for you. Can you imagine that? What's God's will for your life when He considers marriage? God's will, in terms of the permissiveness, is pretty wide open. And the playground view is one that I think expresses this very well. And we'll come back to the example of marriage in a moment. But just think about this. The playground view says this. Imagine when your parents took you to the playground when you were kids. I'm guessing that your parents would say something like this. Here's the playground. Here's where I want you to stay. I noticed that there's some cars over there. There's a parking lot. Make sure you don't go over there. You can get hit by cars. Over there, maybe just kind of picture, work with me, right? There's the creek down there. Don't go down by the water. You're too small. I don't want you to fall in the creek. And then mom usually sits down. Dad sits down a little bit. And you go play around on the slides, on the monkey bars, and the swings, and you do whatever you want. The playground, you are totally free to do whatever you want to do in the playground. Am I right? How many of your parents went and said, you got 3 minutes here, 6 minutes here, 10 minutes there, and you're going to go around from one part to the next? Oh, sorry about your parents. But seriously, just joke. I mean, think about that. Your parents say, here's the playground. You can do whatever you want. I think God's like that. God says, here's the earth I've created for you. Here's the world I've created for you. Do whatever you want, but here are some boundaries. Here are some things that I need you to steer clear of. Does that make sense to you guys? Does that make sense? You got lots of freedom within God's playground to live and to do whatever you want, as long as you live within the boundaries that the Father, that God has given for us. So think back to marriage for a minute. Okay, you guys are too young, but it's a nice, easy illustration to think about this. But let's even think about, should you consider dating a person someday? Some of you a little older maybe are doing that. God's will for you to consider dating someone or considering marriage. What would God's will be for you? Can anybody help me? What would God's will be for you? What's already revealed in Scripture that God says concerning two people who might want to date and eventually get married? What is unequally yoked? Like, what's that? Eggs and omelets? So let me pray about this. This girl I really like, she's an atheist. Nope. How about missionary dating? You guys ever heard that one? That's a line when I was growing up. You guys heard of missionary dating, right? So you're going to date this girl and, you know, sometime you're going to lead her to Jesus and eventually then it'll all be sweet and we'll get married and live happily ever after. A lot of people have tried it and it hasn't worked. You know what's the best way to do it? What God's will is? When you start to look and consider, look for someone who's a fellow believer just like you. What else might be some things? What's God's will? Not much else that's said, is there? What's that?
To guard your hearts.
To guard your hearts. Absolutely. So God's will as you search, but also as you live, is living lives with integrity and honesty and living faithfully to one another. That's God's will for you in marriage and in a relationship. Now, what's free? Go ahead, one more. Well, yeah, and we help. I mean, we do some of that as well. We search and we look. And God is obviously involved in that process, yeah. But what are the things that we do? So when you consider your interests in another person, what would be some of the things that you'd be interested in? If you're looking for a girlfriend or you're looking for a boyfriend, what would be the things that might be intriguing to you that God really doesn't care about? Well, let me help you. What's that? Their hairstyle, yeah. God really couldn't care less. Do you like blondes? Do you like brunettes? Do you like redheads? Redheads, there you go. God's, you guys, it's really so simple to think about that. You like tall girls, short girls? Tall. Are you a tall young man? Yeah, you don't want someone like 3'6", right? It looks like you're walking your little daughter along, but somebody who's 3'8" can marry the 3'6" girl. I better stop there, but... You guys hear that? You notice all the liberty, all the latitude that we have with that? All the freedom? God gives us so much freedom where His will doesn't say things specifically. So we can get all caught up and all nervous in this kind of stuff when He just really wants us to live. Enjoy Him and enjoy the world and the people that He's given us. As we take a look at this and keep going, I'm almost done. I want you to think about the ways in which we actually live out God's will. I tried to do this for you guys, and I think I've covered a few of them. I've probably missed some of them. But you guys know that we all follow God's will wearing many hats at the same time. Christopher actually did this with me at the beginning, and he said he called me a friend. I was quite pleased and thrilled that he would call me a mentor. That's more of a, I mean, the friend thing is a, that's a big jump too, but you know, the fact that he calls me a friend, that's a relationship that we share together. The idea of a mentor, it's somehow that, you know, we've been able to develop a relationship where I can had the opportunity to speak into his life. But there's another level where I've been the professor and he's been the student. And so Christopher and I, he'll be at my house and we'll be having pizza and he's throwing pizza at me. But that's a different relationship we have there than in the classroom. You guys following what I'm saying? We wear many hats and we don't all wear them at the same time. So right now, when I'm speaking to you, I don't have the authority of Christopher as your pastor. I'm not a professor to you. I'm just a guy. I'm just a visitor today. When I go home and I tell my kids that I'm Professor Mittelstadt, they look at me and go, who the heck cares? They don't treat me with respect as a professor, but I expect respect from them as their father. My wife never says to me when I come home, hello, Professor Mittelstadt, welcome home. We wear multiple hats. And those hats, they wind up kind of being thrown off. Sometimes we wear more than one at the same time, but oftentimes we know immediately. Nobody has to stop you and tell you, what hat are you wearing? You know immediately what hat you're wearing. You're wearing, okay, let's talk about you guys. How many of you have parents? You're a son or a daughter. You know what God's will for you is? It's to wear the hat of honoring your parents. How many of you have a sibling? God's will for you? Is to treat your siblings with respect. Isn't this hard stuff? God's will is to love your family. Oh, this is getting harder and harder, isn't it? God's will is, how many of you have a job? Okay. How many of you need a job? Okay. When you get a job, you don't have that same relationship as you do with your parents or with There was a little inside joke there. A couple of us were laughing. Got to get my head back on. So when you work for an employer, you have a certain kind of relationship. God's will there is that you respect, that you do your job, that you fulfill the responsibilities of that particular job. So if you're working at McDonald's, you flip burgers, you put burgers in bags, you go to the window, you take money, you give the right amount of change. You don't cheat people. That's pretty straightforward. How many of you have a neighbor? God's will for you? You guys remember God's great commandment? Love God and love your neighbor. And of course, neighbor can take a whole different, quite a variety of forms and ways. Some of us maybe even don't talk to our neighbors all that much. We live in a society where neighbors, you know, we don't connect with them maybe like we did a few generations ago. But your neighbor is whoever you meet at the Village Inn tonight. Or how about the person that you meet at school? The person that you rub shoulders with each and every day. These are people, God's will for you, it is to treat them with love and respect. And of course, we all have friends. So as we conclude and we wrap up then with just a few ways to maybe think about how we can do this. Here's some suggestions in terms of making choices. So if you're trying to figure out what God wants you to do with your life, here's my responses to you. Number one, follow Jesus. Number two, do what's already revealed by God in His Word. We don't have to debate that stuff. That's pretty clear. But the third thing then is where you've got all the freedom, you make your choices based on a whole bunch of kinds of questions. What are you good at? Where are your talents? Wouldn't God want you to serve Him and serve others in places where you're already naturally gifted and talented? So, you know, I mean, my wife teaches at DLC here at the church. She teaches preschoolers. I hate those little brats. You know, if I was forced to work with them every day, it would be murder-suicide. I'd go in, I'd kill them all, and then kill myself so I wouldn't have to spend my life in jail. I hate those brats. Anything this high or smaller, I hate them. I mean, does anybody agree with me? But I love university students. I love kids 18 to 23, 25. Why? You know what? My wife, if you would ask her to come and stand in front of my classroom, she would have a cardiac arrest. She'd have a heart attack. She'd be scared spitless to stand in front of them. God makes us very different ways. God gives us very different passions and interests and talents. How about making choices? What about need? You know a good way to discern where maybe God might be leading you? Do you ever just take a look around and see where need is really at? Do you have certain things in your life that God really is prompting you sometimes? God really just lays upon your heart to get you to consider certain kinds of people, certain kinds of issues? You see those things. I don't know that the most important question to ask is, I wonder if God's going to send an angel to me and tell me directly to my face, go do this, rather than saying, I feel this need. I've got this skill, this talent, this ability. Go ahead and use it. What would Jesus do in that situation? I think he'd do the same thing. Passion, again, one of the things, I just put that kind of statement up there. I remember as a kid, this line, it was terrible. It was awful. The line was, if you really want to do something, you can't really do that because God wouldn't want you to do it. How stupid, right? So one of the lines was, if you say to someone, the opposite side of that, you say to someone, I don't want to go to Africa to be a missionary. Don't say that. You know why? Because God will send you to Africa. How stupid is that? Think about that for a minute. Why would God want me to work with preschoolers? I hate them. You guys know when I say hate, well, I don't mean that. You guys you're sticking with me on that? Okay, thank you. Why would God want me to go and work with those people that I can't even stand when he would much rather, I think, a good and loving God would much rather have the person who absolutely can't wait to be around those kids and love them to death. Love, not love them to death, love them with all of life. Right? Think about that. Now, I will put one little spin on this. I will put a spin on this. I've heard stories of people who've said, I'll never do this or I'll never do that. But I'll tell you what, when the switch actually happens, God gives them a love. A love winds up changing. I've never seen people as missionaries in Africa for a lifetime and they say, I still hate those stinking Africans. As a matter of fact, you know, I've never seen a pastor come and say, I hate that church, I hate those people, and be there for 20 years. If that's my pastor, I don't want that guy as my pastor. Or I don't want her as my pastor. I want someone who can't wait to be doing the job that they're called to do. Now, I want you to think one more thing on this. And this is just a little bit for free here. One of the things that we often get caught up in as well, living in the world that we do, do you guys ever stop and think that you are the most privileged people on this planet? You might not think so, but that you are among the richest people in the world. Most people in their lives don't even bat an eye to think about what job might be better than this or that. Most people on the planet are happy enough just to have a job and to make sure that they can feed themselves and take care of themselves. And so we can sit here and we think, oh, what does God want me to do? What am I doing this? Am I doing that? You know what? Just live. Just be. So much more liberating. So much freer. No anxiety with that. Preparation. Not only are you guys living in the best part of the world in terms of opportunity for that, you know what? What do you want to do in your life? Well, where are the opportunities for you to prepare to do something? I'm assuming that Katie loves people. I'm assuming that she recognizes in people that I'm assuming that when she sees people in pain and in difficulty and struggling, she wants to run to them. I'm assuming that when she sees blood, she's not like me. She doesn't pass out, but she sees blood and it doesn't, and she goes, I'm right in there, and she's doing the dirty work and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? She doesn't walk into a hospital, put on nursing gloves, and start taking care of people. She's got opportunities to be prepared and to be trained, and she's going to be able to fulfill that calling that God's laid upon her heart. So what's around you in terms of the possibilities and the preparations? We can take advantage of those things, and it winds up being so straightforward. So when I think about it, I encourage you to think of these last few words. When it comes to God's will, we pray, we say, God, what do you want me to do? And the answer is, follow Jesus, follow his will, it was recorded in the Bible, and you got lots of freedom from there. Pray, reflect on those things, and just live. The great Christian theologian, his name was St. Augustine. Maybe you've heard that name before. St. Augustine died about 1,500 years ago. St. Augustine said this, God's will for your life is that you love Him and do whatever you want. That's a theologian. Isn't that great? This brilliant mind, right? And he goes, God's will for you is that you love Him and do whatever you want. And I love this line as well. It's not my own. God is more interested in who you are than what you do. God is more interested in who you are. He's interested that you love Him. He's interested that you're a person of character. He's interested that you love people. He's interested that you live with integrity. And you can do that whether you're a plumber, a scientist, a bus driver, a professor, a pastor, a mother, a father. It doesn't matter. God's more interested in who you are than what you do. I hope that helps you guys a little bit tonight. So here's what I want to do. Here's your homework for the next few minutes. I want you to just simply sit quietly, just for a couple minutes, and I want you to maybe reflect with me on one of two possibilities. Here they are. So I want you to think with me about the revealed will of God. I want you to think maybe, what would God's will be for you, say, in terms of your family? How might God want you to respond to your parents or to your siblings? Or what might God's will be for me to think about how I respond to my teachers at school, to those who are in authority over me, to those people that I'm responsible to? What would God's response be? What has God already revealed to me on that? But maybe you have a different kind of question. Maybe you're at another stage of life where you're asking, what does God want me to do? Why not stop and reflect about some of the things that God has really placed in you, that you're gifted with, that you love to do, the things you're passionate about, the need that you see, and maybe think, well, you're not going to answer this in 2 minutes. These are lifelong questions, but maybe begin to think, maybe it's not as difficult as I'm making it out to be, and maybe God can free me to live a little bit more comfortably, a little bit more free. So I'm going to ask Emily if she'd come. She's going to just play for a few minutes, and I'm going to ask you to just, in whatever way you feel you want to do that, if you want to close your eyes, but just sit and think for a minute about God's revealed will to you already, or where God might be leading you in terms of some of the things you're interested in. But let me pray for you, and then we can begin that for just a few minutes. God, I thank you that you are the best example that we have of what it means to be a loving father. And I thank you that as a father, you understand what it means to love and to grant lots of freedom and privilege to who we are as human beings. I thank you that you are a creator. And as the creator of the world, you created the world and you didn't turn us into robots, but you allowed us freedom to live and to be creative and to love and to enjoy life to the full. So I pray for these students tonight that you would help them and to grow in their understanding of who you are, your will and your desire for them, that they would know you, that they would live according to your word, and that they would be free to fulfill their dreams. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.